Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Get thicker grass, better color, and fewer bare spots with turf application. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Teron Davenport will be with us here in about an hour. We will get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Joe, I heard the back part of you and PK's conversation yesterday as it related to all the Vrabel-Russini stuff. Well, apparently some Titans fans online have been kind of going back in history here, Joe, and saying, look at Amy Adams Strunk. She was right the whole time. Moving on from Mike Vrabel, all this nonsense coming out. Amy, whether she knew about it or not, justified, vindicated throughout all this. Joe, your response to that, to Titans fans who may be uttering those phrases, is what?
Yeah, please don't do that. That's that. Please, please don't do that. There's too much of that. Aha, she knew right all along. Our leader. No, no, no. This changes nothing. Now, here's what it changes, and I think Gentry Estes wrote a column about this, and I totally agree. What it changes is Titans fans, because remember last year, how much did we talk about, oh, boy, got to look over there and see them just winning every
going
week. And yeah, it's just well, now, you as a Titans fan, you can look at it and say, whew, well, glad I'm not dealing with that right now, right? I mean,
yeah.
So you certainly, and which also, by the way, brings the other side is like, what is, I mean, Boston, like, radio and everything must be so wild right now. Like, what are Patriots fans? Because I think there's certainly a lot of, and it's true. Like,
I mean, Patriots fans think they're going back to the Super Bowl this year.
Well, so that's the thing. So if they believe, you know, there's a lot of, very true to say, yeah, this is not some outlier among, like, NFL coaches or players, you know, that you would have something like this. The situation is, the attention is, right? But, okay, whatever. This guy's a great coach. He's our coach. We love him. We just went to the Super Bowl. The players love him. Great. Who cares? But then when things keep coming out constantly and you think about, well, just like the impact on him, right? It's interesting if you're a Patriots fan right now. Like is there any erosion of like, oh, maybe this is just not, I don't know.
Well,
it's an interesting.
I think from a football perspective, the most interesting part about this story is what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, which is, I think a lot of people, myself included, I'm going to speak for you, and I think put yourself in this conversation, expected a step back from them this year, like the Patriots,
yes,
on the field anyway.
Yes,
like, a lot of things fell right for them last year. They had the schedule that we talked a lot about. There wasn't, you know, some other great team in the AFC. And look, they deserve credit for doing what they did. I think Drake May might end up being one of those quarterbacks that you look at in the AFC for the next decade plus and say, well, if you're going to get to where you want to get to, you're going to have to get through Drake May and the Patriots. Like, that may be what they have. But I just think it was going to be hard for them to replicate what they did a year ago, you know, get back into being a team that's getting into the Super Bowl, right? Not impossible, but like, if you force me to guess, they're not getting back to the Super Bowl this year. So what if they take a big step back and they're like fighting to get in a wild card spot in the last couple of weeks of the regular season? Like, you don't think throughout that process that this is just going to come up constantly of,
yeah,
Vrabel has messed this up so completely and he's become such a huge distraction and it's totally taking place on the field right now, you're seeing the effect that it's having. Like, that's all people are going to be talking about all year.
100%. And it may not even be true, really.
Right, exactly. Like, it may just be as simple as they're not as good as they were a year ago.
Yeah. But also, I think there will have to be some truth in it, because it is. I don't care. Like, it is a distraction. Drake May has been asked twice about this, and he got ripped for, like, supporting it. Like, just when you factor in how things are in life today with social media, like, I'm sorry, like, there's a lot of, like, it's, if you're on X, you know, there's a constant stream of this. Some of it is, like, really gross, in my opinion, you know, but that's, like, that's what's going to happen. A situation like this, that is part of the deal, and I'm sorry, but most people can't just isolate themselves from that and not be affected by it. So that part's interesting. And again, Titans fans, yeah, I think now you can be like, all right, we got Robert Saleh, and I'm not going to, you know, wish we had Vrabel anymore, right? So that's great. Do not make this any sort of relitigation of what happened at the end of Vrabel or anything like that, or other things that have happened
since.
It's not, this does not change any of that. I mean, to me, everything that happened at the end there, I mean, people want to put like, but was this part of it? No, I don't buy that for a minute. Or I've heard people say, well, maybe, you know, maybe the Titans are behind something. No, I know those are fun little theories, but I think that's just complete bunk. And it's,
hey, Bark.
Stop.
I'm out here at the lake. You'll never believe who I saw.
Oh God.
You'll never believe it. Look at this video.
Amy with the binoculars. Oh no, no, it is not the case. There's the way it went down, and again,
we got to fire him right now, Bert.
You know, the way it went down, it really is like, I mean, it's still both of their faults. Like again, and that was, remember, you know, that was part of the story that Diana and I did, and part of like the conversation that we had on this show every day, which is Vrabel could have handled things better. Vrabel could have handled the, you know, the Patriots weekend better, could have talked to somebody. He obviously didn't. All that stuff still. This doesn't change any of that. And I think people really want to, again, people, you want to believe that, like, your owner isn't a bad owner. I get it. All this stuff that this story is, you got to be able to separate it, and it doesn't change anything about, and again, all the other stuff too, of course, J-Rob, and yeah, et cetera, et cetera. Like, so, you know, just be happy that you have a different coach now.
Well, be happy that you're not dealing with this. Yeah.
Yeah. But also, like, this is not any sort of, you know, revision of what has happened with ownership.
Let's head back to our phone line. Welcome in Ed in New Jersey to the program. Ed, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. So I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but, and I'm not exaggerating, so bear with me, because what I'm about to say, let's put it in the context of these are the Titans. What, I mean, I think we're dangerously close from a story leaking that she may have gotten information from another team and gave it to Vrabel, and now we have a tampering thing going on where it forces the NFL to get involved, and the next thing you know, Titans don't have a draft pick until 2035. I mean, I'm really going down that rabbit hole, because these are the Titans, and what can go wrong will go wrong. I don't know, man. It's dangerously close, I think, to one more breaking story that would force Goodell to have the NFL be more engaged.
That's interesting. Thank you, Ed. I mean, first of all, I don't know. I don't know. Look, for me to sit here and act like I don't, like, it's getting close to being over, I don't know. It feels like something else is coming out every day. So who knows? I have no idea where this is going to go.
Right.
I mean, that would, to me, the situation that he just put out there would take a lot to come out.
Yeah,
and then, like, does your attention turn to Vrabel at that point, or does it turn to the Titans? Like, those are, you know, those are two different things.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I mean, I guess if there really was something that was like tampering or whatever,
right?
I think that would attach to Vrabel, wouldn't it?
I would think so.
But like, so like, it wouldn't attach to the Patriots or the Titans. But
just be Vrabel.
Yeah, but again, like, we had Charles yesterday, and we did talk about the whole tampering idea, which is what some people, and look, I think it's a fair thing to bring up with this when you talk about whatever, you talk about compromise situation with media and source and all that, and like, what, you know, people talk about the AJ Brown stuff,
yeah,
or going back on, but like Charles said, I mean, Charles laid it out pretty, it's like, to get to like that word tamer, it's got to be like, really, the bar is very high. And again, another thing about this is, like, I understand this is taking off like wildfire, like the tabloids are going nuts. I mean, it's like, you have this perception, like, you know, oh my God, what's next? But like, what are these things? I mean, it's just, they're just like further confirmation of like what has sort of been demonstrated, but right, like,
yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things, people, ooh, and someone like Stilly, okay, I got another show today. I can talk about the boat. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about some love and sex. All right. I mean, like, you know, people who are just completely – just leeching off this stuff for their own benefit, they can go nuts with it. But what does it really mean?
I love being able to look back at Ian when he knows he's got something he wants to clip up. And just immediately just headed back over. He's clipping it now. I can see him do it.
I feel like I just did Stilly there, but it was almost more like a South Park voice of Stilly.
Oh, man, I thought I'd do my show about sex all day long. Yeah.
But what does it really like? What does it really amount to at this point? You know, I mean, it doesn't. You know, it does. So, but I understand what Ed's getting at. You know, another thing to remember is like, again, all these insiders. You know, people have made the point about Jay Glazer. Like, you're too close to a lot of people you cover.
Yeah.
Right. Like I understand this is not the same, but I keep going back to that too. Right? Like there's a lot of people that all of them talk to on a lot of teams and multiple people on the same team. And, you know, I think that people are looking at this and thinking it now, taking it to like someone who's out there just completely trying to, you know, savage all the other teams for the one source, which is a little bit of, you know. Little bit dramatic.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025.
Barrick, I'm in Arizona. You wouldn't believe what I'm seeing right now.
Wouldn't believe it.
Good God.
More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. We'll have the Rex rant coming up here at 745. Talking Titans. Our football offseason coverage brought to you by Tennessee Brew Works. Locally brewed, community-driven, Tennessee Brew Works, the official craft beer of football offseason coverage here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts, let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Tim to the program. Tim, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Morning, guys. Hey, how is he going to be able to tell his players, you know, about being a distraction to the team when he's the biggest distraction in all of major sports?
That's a great question.
You know,
that's very true.
Yeah, because he can't do it. And you know, they keep saying that they're not going to do anything with him because of all the problems that the Patriots have had. If they don't do something, you know, he's ruined two families. He's ruined his family. He's ruined her family. And now they're going to do paternity tests to make sure Mikey Jr. ain't Mikey's.
Well, I don't think that that's actually been proven. I think that's all speculation. But your larger point, I would agree with. Like, I do think, like, it's from a purely a coaching perspective, Joe. First off, you know, you had Albert Breer last week talking about how he's not the same guy in the building. It's like, well, yeah, probably not. While this is going on, does that ever come back? Like, because I think you would agree, like, part of what I think makes Vrabel a good coach is kind of the swagger he brings with him and, you know, the history of being the player and all these different things and find a way to motivate guys. Like, all that, I think, is kind of essential to what he does. But I do think it's interesting now of, like, if you're up there kind of preaching accountability and preaching you don't do dumb stuff to hurt the team. Meanwhile, you've had all this circulating here. Like, if you're a player in the locker room, and let's say you get into, like, trouble, and you're a distraction. Well, how are you listening to what Vrabel's got to say right now on that front?
Yeah, no.
That part of it is interesting.
Yeah.
Like, they clearly don't want to fire him. They don't want to do any of that stuff. And, you know, from a football perspective, I get it. He's clearly a good coach. He just got in the Super Bowl. So, I mean, you're talking about a two-time NFL Coach of the Year winner at this point. I continue to wonder if all this continues the way that it's going right now, if he just looks at it at some point and is like, man, I just don't think I can do this right now. And I don't know what the answer to that is.
Yeah, look, I think you have to consider the possibility. And you just like, how much do you lose of the? Yeah, like, certainly the distraction conversation is like, that's a joke. And again, some people would say, I mean, like I've heard people say from the start. Well, I mean, again, this happened. These things like this happen all the time, you know, and that's true. But just this, I've never seen a situation like if I'm forgetting something, someone remind me. But I've never seen a situation take off like this with a sports figure, you know. I mean I was trying to rack my brain a little bit, you know, things come out or whatever, but I've never seen a situation like this. And again, then how does that affect this person who's supposed to be setting the standard for accountability, yep, leadership, like you and the caller said, you know, not being a distraction, all that stuff, how does that affect that person and the ability to lead? I think this in some ways is like an unprecedented situation.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. And I don't know how it ends. I mean, the question I can't answer is like, is it going away anytime soon? Doesn't feel like it. I mean, it certainly doesn't feel like it's going away anytime soon. And let's say even if it does, like all the videos and reports and all these things, you know, stop eventually, which I would assume like eventually they will. Again, if they start off, you know, 1-3 or they're 2-2 or and they don't look very good, I mean, this is going to come back up. It's going to be like, well, you've got a guy who's dealing with all this stuff off the field, who's lost his fastball, and now the team's suffering for it. That's going to be – everybody in New England's going to be talking about that, and then it'll be a talking point around the league. Like, I just – that to me is why this isn't going away anytime soon if you're him.
Right. So any sort of stumble, which is almost for sure guaranteed, will come with that, will come with the discussion. And then, yeah, this is clearly – this is gold – to the tabloids.
Yeah, for sure.
And again,
I don't think TMZ's stopping anytime soon.
Right. So every little thing, no matter how trivial, is going to, like, I think I saw Jim Rome say something like they're, like, you know, sifting through it like, you know, like the old gold, the 49ers and, you know, the yeah. river looking
see if
for
we can
gold.
Find some gold. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's, and so that's, and again, and I mean, I joke about Cartman Stilley, you know, but like, but, he's not the only one. There are people that are absolutely – there's this guy I muted, this dude who's like – I don't know. I've talked about him, I think, before. But I think he has like a 49ers podcast or something. I had to mute him. But, like, it's just constant barrage of – and, again, he's going with the NFL conspiracy theory, the media. Why aren't people talking about this? And it's like, well, I think people talked about it. But, I mean, you know – If you're hammering this every day, you're just doing that to like help your own numbers, right?
I would assume so.
You know, there are some relevant offshoots of this story, but some people have absolutely gone nuts with it.
By the way, if you're wondering, the AFC East favorites according to FanDuel Sportsbook, Buffalo at -130, New England at +130, and then a severe drop off to the Jets and Dolphins, as we discussed the other day. Buffalo the favorite.
Yeah. And that, and I get.
I think they were not, before. All
they
this,
were
by
before.
The way.
Yeah, they were before. Yeah, that's a. You know, it was a lightning. It's almost going to be one of those things that ends up, because obviously no one's going to turn like no one's going to say I wish we didn't get to the Super Bowl, but it is one of the, like now it is kind of one of those things that man maybe like 9-8, 10-7 wouldn't have been a bad start, you know, last year, and then try to build on that. So, but. They got the Super Bowl and then got destroyed, and boy, it's been downhill
well,
since then.
And frankly, like, and this is totally unfair what I'm about to say, but I also think it's reality. Like, a lot of where this story goes from here once football season begins really comes down to Drake May. Like, if Drake May's really good and the Patriots are winning, then it probably will start to go away over time. If Drake May looks more like what he looked like in the Super Bowl and maybe teams are figuring him out a little bit, and it's not as easy as it was a year ago. Well, it's going to come right back to Vrabel at this point.
Yeah. But they did at least – they get rid of the big distraction, Stephon Diggs. So
it's true.
Yeah. Got rid of that distraction. So congratulations.
By the way, one texter says he's lost all of his swagger. The I'm smarter than you press conferences won't fly anymore. Everyone thinks he's an idiot now. Like, in all seriousness, I do wonder about
there's
that.
Something to that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something to the whole, you know, like you go back to a year ago in the playoffs and, you know, because, of course, we remember here, like, Teresa gets the first question and all that stuff. That whole thing, it's just like, just shut up, man. I mean, that's how people are going to react to him in a lot of ways that they didn't before.
Yeah.
It's just reality of it.
It's the reality of it. And the central question of, like, can you effectively – lead a football team while all that is swirling. I don't know. Like
I mean, again,
like you said, this is an unprecedented situation.
Can you think of I can't think of. I mean, I can think of things like I remember like Wade Boggs had something going on, you know, in the 80s.
Yeah, but I mean, this is also like who this is happening with is a huge part of the story. Like, it just makes it unique.
That too. But even if you take that part out of it, can you remember a like a major sports coach who had something like this as a hanging over the head as a I can't, not that of course things like that don't happen, but I can't think of one.
I can't think of one where it's been especially this public.
Now again, you had, well, frankly, you want to go to like ownership, for example, Robert Kraft, there's things like that. There's Tiger Woods,
sure,
and his thing as a golfer, and that, you know, that was a big part of the whole downfall there, but I just can't think of anything that would compare to this.
Well, where would you put Bobby Petrino?
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Now that is, so that was the thing with that was, it was like the accident happened and everything, and they showed up at the presser with the neck brace on. And that stuff came out later, but yeah.
They kind of faked the wreck.
Yeah.
Or something like that. He lied about who was on the motorcycle, I think.
Yes. Now that story is wild. That's a good point. I mean, that would be, you know, but it's one of those things. Then he was out, right? And then did he go from there to the Falcons, I think? Is that right?
I don't remember the timeline in particular.
That's a good one, though. That's a good pull right there, because that's, I can't think of anything else. So, yeah, it's not over. It's not close to over.
No. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. A point that we discussed with Kuharski earlier this week that I am very interested to see how the Titans follow up here. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. The Jam. Anytime we get Rex Road singing, it's a win on this program.
Falco, baby. That'll get the spirits soaring on a Friday.
That one will probably get clipped, too.
Been
a busy morning for Ian. Ian, welcome back.
Giving you lots of content today, Ian.
Appreciate that.
Yep. No problem.
Taking here for you. It's 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. People throwing out Sharon Moore, maybe a potential example of all this Rabel stuff we've talked about, of a similar story that got big. But, I mean, we were talking off air. I mean, that one at least was like, it came out, and then it was done with pretty quickly.
Yeah,
right?
It blew up in one day, and it's all over. Yeah. Right. That's the difference. But, I mean, that is a good point. I mean, that's obviously a very recent one. For sure, you know, Rick Pitino, someone brought up. Yep. That's another with the pool table, whatever the heck was going on there. I mean, there's some wild stuff going on with that. So, yeah, there have been. It's just, again, it's sort of like the, at this point, attempt to just go business as usual, you know, moving forward. As things continue to come out. Like Paul and Nate asked the question, he said, would this be different if there weren't social media? I think way different.
Yeah.
I mean, anything like this now.
First off, you don't have people like recording all this stuff. Oh, here they are.
Well, that's phones in general. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's just hard for people. I'm sorry, but like, it's just hard for that not to make, you know, have a massive effect on people. Paul is a good question. He says, you guys think every random NFL fan and clout chaser is searching their photos on their phone looking for a Vrabel pick they could sell, or is there someone out there slow dripping this? You know, I know that people have thought like there's someone who, again, I've heard people talking about the Titans, like they or PI or whatever. I think it's completely the former. I think there's some dudes at that lake who were like, oh, I think I still have that video. What do you think TMZ will pay us? Like, that's what's happening.
Yeah.
Now, there's people like the TMZ people are out there, again, trying to find every little bit of content they can find on it.
Yeah. Interested to see where it goes and if all this stuff is done coming out or if there's more stuff coming. One thing we talked about this week with the Titans and Kuharski, we talked about this on Wednesday. I think you guys talked about it a little bit yesterday, too, is when it comes to the Chad Brinker departure of the team, how do the Titans handle filling that role? Do they fill that role? Or does it go back to kind of the more traditional setup of you've got your general manager, you've got your coach, and the general manager is handling pretty much everything on the front office side of stuff, and you're not going out and hiring a president of football operations to do the Chad Brinker role, and if so, like, depending on what they do, what does that signal to you about Brinker and the role that was there? Like, I know PK's talked about this and has basically said, if they don't go hire somebody to replace Chad Brinker and what he was doing and don't take that seriously, well, it just shows you the whole thing was an absolute sham when it comes down to Chad Brinker, which I would agree with. Like, that's I don't know how you really view it any other way. And on the other hand, if they do, like, if they go out and treat this as an important hire, well, then, to me, you got to go be looking at somebody beyond, like, Bryce Wasserman in your organization at that point, or you're going to look at it and say, well, if it is that important, and you're a Titans fan looking at it, and like, you're, like, putting your son-in-law in here? Like, is that what we're doing? So it's a very interesting situation for the Titans here in terms of how they're going to handle this president of football operations job moving forward here.
Right. So, yeah, like, and also they claimed that this is the new setup. This is like the – so now it's like, oh, actually, no, it's
we're going
not.
Back.
Yeah, we're going yeah. back. Just flip-flopping and having no idea what you're doing is what you're saying there. But, yeah, look, if they don't replace it with a – and go out and get – then to me, like, it's basically like, I don't feel like I want to, I can't fire someone else, so let's just kick him to the side and then he'll leave on his own.
Yeah.
Because Borgonzi's my guy now.
Right.
Right?
That would be, I think, the conclusion you'd have to come to, right?
Which is just, again, just the constant cycle of people falling in and out of favor. I can't, speaking of unprecedented. Now, again, there are different organizations who have owners who talk about video game ratings for players. But, I mean, that's also – I can't quite remember. And I've seen some real bad – you know, I've seen the Detroit Lions mismanaged for an entire lifetime. But this particular cycle is unique to me.
Well, I guess what would you rather see? Would you rather see them go back to – kind of that traditional setup of the general manager, and then while at the same time you're doing that, you're basically admitting that all that Brinker stuff was a total sham? Or would you rather see them, like, go have a serious search here and continue to operate with the president of football operations apparently having a pretty significant role in the organization?
I'd rather see just them be good at football so we can stop talking about it. You know, it's like,
if we can get to that, that'd be great.
Like, I'd rather see just Borgonzi be good, and so then whatever happens, they, you know, because if he is, then it just great. You could certainly sit there and say, "Wow, Amy finally lucked out." But that's what happens. That's what happens with a lot of owners in pro sports is they get lucky with a hire and someone. Okay, that person's good. Please go win. Help us look better. But if you want to talk about just that decision, I mean, I guess I'd like to see a real hire to, and maybe I
would too.
I'd
it would make me feel better about it. Like, okay, well, they actually do believe that this position is important. But, like, frankly, where I'm at right now is, well, if they go hire Bryce Wasserman for this, it's like, okay, well, how important is it really? Like, or are they just handing out jobs here? Or, like, what does that look like? And look, he might be great in this role, but I'm just telling you, that's what the reaction. It's the same. It's like similar to Brian Poyle, right? Like, it's the Brian Poyle may be great as a general manager one day in the league, but if the Predators hired him, the reaction would be, oh, right. So that's what we're doing yeah. around here? So
exactly.
I would rather see them go out and just hire somebody that they feel like is pretty competent, that could come in and actually play a significant, meaningful role. I mean, at this point, I think we can assume that it's not going to have anything to do with the roster. So people have thrown out, like I know Ziegler – now it's getting looked at by, I guess, Minnesota.
Right.
But it's like, so people have thrown out him for this job here with president of football operations. I'm like, well, it's not personnel. It's not the same. So I think we know that the personnel thing is Borgonzi yeah. now, which is great. I'm glad that that's the way that it is. But if they don't go out and hire somebody for this president of football operations job, we're going to look back on it and say, so you guys are just totally making stuff up. You're just totally making
100%.
Stuff up.
It does sound like it's a lot of stuff, right? Yeah. Don't you want someone in charge of that stuff?
I would assume he was doing something.
Right. Now, this person would not, wouldn't like Borgonzi wouldn't report to this person.
No.
Right? They'd just be separate.
Yeah.
Report separately to Amy and handle all the stuff. If you don't handle all the stuff, does that mean some of this stuff now goes to Borgonzi?
Right.
Gets kicked to him? where you just like divvy it up among other employees, and it's like, so why were you wasting all this money to have someone do this?
I can't worry about that right now. I got to figure out the quarterback. Can't worry about it.
You take your sprinkler system and you shove it where the sun don't shine.
God, the Titans probably hate us. The Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Can we just freaking be normal?
Why the fart were they booing me?
We think Mike Vrabel's the man to take us on that journey.
I was watching on the stream from the Fox Hunt.
I have a good relationship with Amy Adams Strunk, so I do not think it's my camera.
The meth market?
Sodium hydroxide pellets, hydrochloric acid, methanol, isopropyl alcohol, acetone, and butane.
They're rather loose over there at Michigan State with meth making.
I'm the dumbest person in here, I promise you.
Congratulations, good job. Don't cook or use meth.
Oh, boy. It is time for the Rex Rant, brought to you by Rapid Response Generators. Power when it matters most. Check them out at rapidresponsegenerators.com. That one got me.
That was pretty good.
Joe, the floor is yours.
I do need some more reporting, folks, up there, my friends.
Yeah, we need to speed it up a little bit.
At the Detroit Free Press, Lansing State Journal, Detroit News, on the meth cook at Michigan State. We need a little bit more on that. But speaking of doing drugs, I got to take on Draymond Green today, kind of. And you know it's not easy for me to do.
It's not.
Full disclosure, for anybody who doesn't know, I covered Draymond's entire college career. I covered I knew Draymond from the time he was like a high school sophomore. I'm a big fan personally of Draymond Green. My son, my middle child, basically idolizes him. Et cetera, et cetera. I'm biased, okay? I'm biased because I like the guy. I like his family, but also because I saw him grow as a player and I've seen him in the NBA, and it's an incredible story. That said, I should have given. I'm sure the sound is findable out there, and I should have done that. But I'll read the quote that has started this like. Now, this is its own, the NFL has its stuff going on, which is bigger than sports that we've been talking about. This is kind of set up a little bit of a wildfire in the NBA and people griping each other. So, Draymond Green, on his podcast, The Draymond Green Show, for the most part, just completely praising Steve Kerr, who just said recently he's the best defensive player I've ever seen. Steve Kerr played with, among other people, he had Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman is another one of those guys. He played with them, won championships with them with the Bulls, said Draymond Green's the best defensive player he's ever seen. And by the way, take that seriously because people disrespect that, and that's the other side of the Draymond Green discussion. But here's what Draymond Green said about Steve Kerr also in that praising of him. Said, quote, "As much as he's done for me in basketball, a part of me thinks he's hindered me in my career and what I could have become. But what he's also helped me become, like, you got to take the good with the bad, man. You know, when I think of who I was offensively as a player and who I became, I think part of that is due to him. I don't hold that against him. I'm forever grateful that he still put me in a position to be successful and that I could become Draymond Green despite my offensive role on our team," end quote. That's the actual quote. Now, of course, social media, the world takes the hindered, and it's basically been sold as Draymond was like, Steve Kerr hitting me, I was, like, listen to the whole quote. It's not quite that bad. But still, no. The reality is, the greatest players, people, whatever, you get to a certain point, you can be a little bit delusional. I mean, I've watched all of Draymond's career. We became kind of like big Warriors fans, as a lot of you know, too. And you know, Robbie. Well, in those games, Draymond Green is one of, possibly the best defensive player I've seen in basketball and what he became in the NBA. Offensively, he's their point guard. I mean, what he did was he led them in assists all those years because his job was, and he was an incredible passer and screener and creator of offense, again, catalyst, point guard in the half court for that offense. Get the greatest shooter ever the ball, get Klay Thompson the ball, get Kevin Durant the ball. That's what his role was. Teams didn't guard him. Like, you don't have to run something. Like, you don't need something run for you if you're wide open. Just take a shot. And he did sometimes. He's hit some big shots. I mean, in Game 7 against the Cavs, I think he had 33 points. That's the only reason they were even in the game, right? Like, he had his moments. But you don't need something run for you if you're left alone. You're wide open. Or if you're not taking a three, you can just dive to the rim and take a pass, and that happens too. I don't understand how that even enters your head. But the thing is, it's like one of those things he says amid all this praise of Steve Kerr, and everybody seizes on it, and so it gets blown out of proportion. But it never should have crossed your mind. Like, it's just not realistic whatsoever. So since then, it's been this whole back and forth. And again, now he says this stuff to Barkley, and it's like it just kind of fell flat. I think he was trying to be funny about Barkley's time in Houston, and people are correctly pointing out that Charles Barkley is a much better player than Draymond Green. Charles Barkley is one of the greatest players of all time. If you watch Charles Barkley, he's a top 20 player of all time to me. No rings, top 20 player of all time. But Draymond Green's a first ballot Hall of Famer, and if he's not the greatest defensive player ever, he's top five, and defense is half the game. So I will still defend him some too.
Draymond Green has averaged 8.7 points per game in his career. Everything you just said about him is true. Like, he is one of the greatest defensive players of all time. If you think that Steve Kerr has, like, held you back from being some offensive superstar and your career average is 8.7 points per game, I don't know what to tell you, man. Like, it's, again, delusion, I think, is the right word for it. So I heard his comments. I listened to what he had to say. When it's written down, it sounds more bad than it actually was if you watch him on the podcast. But to your point, it's probably something that you should have never even thought about or uttered. Like, it just, there's no good that's going to come from that.
How could you think that?
And frankly, it's just wrong. Like, it's just like, you have Steph Curry on your team, you have Kevin Durant on your team, you've had Klay Thompson on your team. Yeah, there are reasons things aren't getting run for you, right?
Like, yeah.
It's very clear why things aren't getting run for you out there.
Like, again, I don't even know, like, in that offense, like, what does that mean? Like, you don't need to run anything for you. You're alone. Like, why would you, you know, I mean, I guess what, maybe in his mind it's like, I could have done a little more in the post and worked out of there a little bit more and your sets. But again, whatever, you're at the top of the key. And he was incredible. He has been. He still is incredible at delivering the ball. That's not like nothing. And again, that's why he led them in assists, delivering the ball at the right time and all that stuff. I mean, their offense has been beautiful to watch. But I don't even know what that would, like, you're gonna, why would you ever run anything for anyone but Steph? I don't even know that I'd run that much for Klay. I just run things for Steph, and then if the defense does a great job and he's doubled or whatever, then fine. Then you play off that. But, like, isn't that what you run every play for? Like one of the top. I mean, Steph is a top. I don't know. Top. I mean, is he a top 10 player of all time?
You can make the argument.
So
I mean, it's a matter. So I guess every, at that point, it's a matter of opinion. But yeah, you can make the argument.
Yeah, like every play when he's on the floor, I'm running for him. And then when he's not on the floor. Okay, I guess you can run something for Brandon, and what's his name, or, you know, Leandro Barbosa,
sure.
Or, you know, Sean Livingston. Or,
yeah.
You know, little Iguodala, run a lob play to Iguodala.
Finals MVP?
Sure, that's right.
Should have been
Draymond, by the way.
Do you know the nicknames that Basketball Reference has for Draymond Green? There's three of them.
No. If Day-Day better be one of them, though.
Day-Day is the first one.
That's what he was called his entire childhood and Michigan State career, Day-Day.
Day-Day, the Dancing Bear.
Yep.
And Dre. Those are the three.
Well, the Dancing Bear was when he was a freshman, Michigan State. They got to the championship game in Detroit. That was Clark Kellogg because he came in off the bench. I mean, if you watched Draymond back then, talk about chubby. But he came in and made all these plays, and Clark Kellogg, he's a dancing bear out there. So at least I get those nicknames as opposed to – the Pharaoh who was promised or whatever the heck's going on with, you know, these quarterbacks.
Steph has five, one of them being Steph. Baby-faced assassin, Chef Curry, the Human Torch, and Threesus.
Threesus, okay. I mean, Chef Curry is the one that I know. Like, people do that.
Yeah.
I've never heard of any of those
Human Torch.
The Human Torch? It's amazing where they come, like where they find these things, or do they just make some of them up sometimes? Let's like if that. Someone says it one time, then it's it makes basketball or football reference.
LeBron has 10 on his basketball reference page.
Let us have them.
King James, LBJ, yeah, okay. Chosen One, Bron, the Little Emperor, the Akron Hammer,
what?
L Train, Benjamin Buckets, Captain LaMerica, and LaGoat. These are all on the basketball reference page.
I've heard LaGoat. I've heard some of the couple early at the beginning.
The Little Emperor.
The Akron Hammer? What was the one before, like the third from the end?
Benjamin Buckets.
Yeah, Benjamin Buckets?
I guess that's like because he doesn't get old.
Like Benjamin Button?
Yeah.
Reverse aging?
Yeah.
Wow.
Captain LaMerica.
Interesting. Captain LaMerica.
Sounds French.
Teron Davenport will be with us coming up next. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.